Consider the tragedies that occur around us. Such as a gunman walks into a supermarket in Buffalo, New York, and shoots 13 people, killing 10 of them. A new virus spreads throughout the world, killing millions. And misguided government attempts to control the virus harm millions more. One country invades a neighbor, shelling apartment buildings and devastating cities. In another country, the government arrests anyone found in possession of a Bible. And then sends those people to concentration camps. Elsewhere, as many of you know personally, millions have to flee their countries as rebels or government forces maraud, loot, rape, and kill. And then there are the tragedies faced by individuals and families. Cancer diagnoses, traffic accidents, stillbirths, childhood diseases, decades-long pain and disability, Alzheimer's disease. So faced with pain like that, we wonder, where is God? Does he see? Does he hear when we cry out to him? He has made many promises to his people in the past. Does he remember those promises? Is he doing anything about all this pain and suffering? Well, the Israelites in Egypt at the time of Moses asked those same questions. Recall that when the Israelites first moved to Egypt at the time of the famine, Joseph was prominent in the government of Egypt. The king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, welcomed them initially. He gave them good land on which to keep their cattle and to dwell in. But we learn in Exodus chapter 1 that a new king arose in Egypt. This king knew nothing about Joseph. He did not know about Joseph. And he saw the growing population of the Israelites as a threat. And so he enslaved the Israelites. He made their lives bitter. And then this continued year after year.
na waliendelea hivi katika maisha hayo mwaka wenda mwaka.
Decade after decade.
Kipindi katika kipindi.
Oppression after oppression.
Matatizo katika matatizo.
Now, the people of Israel knew that God had given them promises.
Lakini wana wa Israeli walijua kwamba Mungu aliwapatia ahadi.
Consider three of those promises.
Na
three promises.
Na ilikuwa ahadi tatu.
First, God had promised in the Garden of Eden.
Ya kwanza aliwaambia katika bustani.
That a descendant of the first woman would crush the head of Satan. Second promise, God had promised Abraham that all the families of the nations would be blessed through his descendant. And then God had also promised Abraham that his offspring would be enslaved in another country, but that he would rescue them. Indeed, although they would be enslaved for hundreds of years, God would bring judgment on that country and bring them out.
Na akasema kwamba japokuwa watakuwa katika nchi hiyo miaka 400 zaidi, lakini Mungu atawatoa tena kule na atapunish ama atahukumu nchi ile ambayo itakayowaweka katika utumwa.
So they knew those three promises.
Na walijua hizi ahadi tatu.
They knew what God had said.
Na walijua kwamba Mungu amesema.
But they don't see God fulfilling those promises. They only see oppression and death and slavery. And this is the situation we find in Exodus 2, verse
23.
We read, the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. They asked the same questions that we ask today when faced with tragedies. Does God hear? Does God remember his promises? Does God see what is going on? Is he going to do anything? Well, Exodus 2 answers those questions for us. Let's read verses 24 and 25. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew.
Mungu akakumbuka agano lake alilolifanya na Ibrahimu na Isaka na Yakobo. Mungu akawaona wana wa Israeli na Mungu akawaangalia.
Well, those verses give us the outline for the rest of this sermon.
Na hizi verses zinatuonesha, zinatupatia njia kutokana na hayo yote.
Four parts.
Vitu nne.
God always hears.
Mungu huwa na
God always remembers. Third, God always sees. And fourth, God always knows. So first of all, God always hears. So the Israelites are suffering and they cry out to God for help. They don't see an immediate answer to their prayers. And so they wonder, does God even hear? And don't we feel like that so many times? We pray and we pray. We cry out in pain. And oftentimes nothing seems to change. But God does hear. He heard the cries of the Israelites. As we read from Exodus 3, God appears in a burning bush to Moses. And he tells Moses in verse 7, I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. So God heard their cry. Indeed, in Psalm 34, David assures us, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears. God, and Peter tells us, as we read, that God's ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. No matter how long you cry out, no matter how long it seems that God is silent, even if it's hundreds of years as it was for the Israelites, no matter the depth of your pain, God always hears. So cry out to Him. Continue to cry out to Him. He hears your prayers. Second heading, God always remembers. Exodus 2:24 tells us God remembers His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God remembers His promises. He remembers that He will bring His people out of Egypt. He remembers that He promised to judge the oppressors of Israel. And chapters 3 through 14 tell us exactly how God does that. But God also remembers His earlier promise to Abraham that He will bless all the nations through the offspring of Abraham.
Ibrahim.
Even today, 3,000 years later, that promise is not yet fulfilled.
Hata leo, miaka 3,000 imeshapita, hata hiyo ahadi bado haijatimia.
Similarly, the promise to the first woman in the garden that a descendant of hers would crush the head of Satan is not yet fulfilled.
Tunakumbuka kwamba ile ahadi iliyoahidi katika kitabu cha Mwanzo ya kwamba mtoto ambaye atakayezaliwa katika tumbo la mke yule ambaye atakayemfinya kichwa cha nyoka yule bado haijatimilika hiyo.
But God remembers those promises.
Lakini tujue kwamba Mungu anakumbuka hizo ahadi.
And God is fulfilling those promises today. So that over the last 100 years, hundreds and hundreds of people groups have heard the gospel message. People groups who had no believers in the Lord Jesus Christ 150 years ago, now praising and worshiping God. God continues to fulfill that promise to Abraham. And God continues to work all of history together so that it will culminate in the return of our Lord Jesus. And he will then crush the head of Satan. And in these 3,000 years since this time, God continues to make more promises which he will fulfill. He promised a new covenant with his people. As we read first in Jeremiah 31 and then quoted, it's quoted in Hebrews 8 and 9. Hebrews chapters
8
and
9.
He promises, he will be our God, we will be his people. He promises, he will write his law on our hearts. He promises we will all know him from the least to the greatest. And he promises that he will remember our sins no more. For the Lord Jesus took on himself the punishment that we deserve for our sins. As Hebrews 10:14 tells us, by a single offering, Jesus has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. In Jesus, God promises we are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. We are his precious possession. And so he rejoices over his people with loud singing. He delights to do his people good. He will never leave you or forsake you if you are in Jesus. God always remembers his new covenant. He never forgets. He fulfills his every promise in Jesus. So may we believe that promise and hold firmly to it. So God always hears.
Yes, Christo, Mungu anaendelea kutusikia.
God always remembers.
Mungu anaendelea kutukumbuka.
Third, God always sees.
Na la tatu, Mungu anaendelea kutuona.
Exodus 2:25 told us that God saw the people of Israel.
Kutoka 2:25 inatuonyesha kwamba Mungu aliwaona wana wa Israeli.
And then in chapter 3, verse 7, God tells Moses, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. When God does not answer our prayers right away, we often groan like the people of Israel. And we're tempted to think God doesn't see us. But Exodus 3 verse 7 is as true for us as it was for the people of Israel. He says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. And God has surely seen your trials. He has surely seen your troubles. He has surely seen your tribulations. As Psalm 94 tells us, he who formed the eye, does he not see? It's there on the next page.
Anasema kwamba anayaona yote, anayaona yote na anamuona yule ambaye watu wake wote.
Yes. So aliye ilifanya jicho asione.
Yes. Macho ya Bwana hukimbia kimbia duniani mote ili ajionyeshe mwenye nguvu kwa ajili ya hao waliokamilika moyo kuelekea kwake.
Yeah, that's the Kiswahili for 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. So you see what that verse implies.
Yeah, verse inaleta nini? Inatuambia nini?
God is looking around to see, how can I support my people?
Mungu anaendelea ku say what?
He looks to see, how can I support my people?
Oh, Mungu anaendelea kuangalia namna gani anaweza kuwasaidia watu wake.
So God always sees.
Mungu huwa anaendelea kuwaona.
Fourth.
Amen.
God always knows.
Mungu anaendelea ku
What does God know? He tells Moses in chapter 3, verse 7, I know their sufferings. Then in Exodus 3, verse 8, he says, He has come to deliver them from slavery and to bring them into His promised land. And then in verse 10, he says he's sending Moses to accomplish that deliverance.
Verse 10,
So think of the implications of that. He not only sees their suffering, he not only hears their cries of pain, he not only remembers his promises, he also knows exactly how he will work to save his people. He knows exactly how he will do them good. He knows exactly how he will fulfill his promises to them. He has a perfect plan for how he will glorify his name. And that which was true for the people of Israel is just as true for God's people today. God knows your weaknesses. God knows your sins. God knows your failures. God knows your sufferings. And in Jesus, God loves you with an everlasting love. Knowing all the worst about you, in Jesus, he loves you. And he has a perfect plan for how he will work in your life. And indeed, he has a perfect plan for how he will work in the lives of his people from every people group on this globe. He has a plan for how he will establish justice. He has a plan for how he will deal with all oppressors. He has a plan for how he will fill this earth with his glory. And if you are in Jesus, he has a plan for how he will perfect you in Christ. A plan for how he will deliver you from your sin. A plan for how he will deliver you from the impact of other sins on you. And nothing will stop him from fulfilling that plan. Not governments. Not Satan. Not even ourselves. As we read from 1 Peter 5, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. He will restore you. He will confirm you. He will strengthen and establish you. That is assured by God. So how do we respond? Like the people of Israel, we find ourselves in a period of waiting. God has promised his new covenant. He has fulfilled part of that through the life, death, resurrection, and reign of the Lord Jesus. But Jesus has not yet returned. He has not yet ended all sorrow and sin and sickness and death. He has not yet wiped every tear from our eyes. We do not yet see Jesus face to face. And so we are still far from perfectly like him. But the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8 that the entire creation waits with eager longing for the return of Jesus. And we must join all of creation with that eager waiting. Waiting, but completely confident that God will fulfill his every promise. Waiting, but confident that God will fulfill his every promise. So we must, in this meantime, hold fast to his word. Reminding ourselves and reminding one another that God hears, that God remembers, that God sees, and that God knows. He has promised. Jesus will return. He will implement perfect justice. If you are in Christ, he will conform you to Jesus' character. So for us then, the responsibility is confess our sins before him. Confess our doubts. Trust in Jesus as that perfect sacrifice for our sins. Eagerly anticipate that return of the Lord Jesus. That's our responsibility. Do that. Confess before him. Accept the gift of salvation in Jesus. And then know that in Jesus, all God's promises are yes for you. God gives us the gift of the Lord's Supper to help us hold fast to these truths. When we participate in the Lord's Supper, we are remembering Jesus' sacrificial death. He says that his blood was poured out for the forgiveness of many.
na anasema kwamba damu yake ni kwa ajili ya ondoleo la dhambi zetu.
And as we participate in the Lord's Supper, we are picturing our union with Jesus.
Tunapokuwa katika meza ya Bwana tunafanya ile upatanisho na Yesu Kristo.
As we consume these elements that picture his body and his blood.
Tunapochukua mkate huu kama vile mwili wake na kinywaji hiki kama vile damu yake, tunafanya vile kwa ajili ya ukumbusho wa Kristo.
And as we participate in the Lord's Supper, we are picturing our union with brothers and sisters in Christ around the world.
Na tunapofanya hivi ni kwa ajili ya kwa kushiriki hii, tunafanya hivi kwa kama vile wandugu katika Kristo.
Pictured so wonderfully even this afternoon as we gather across differences in language, differences in culture.
Kama jinsi tumekusanyika hapa watu tofauti wenye kabila tofauti kwa ajili ya Kristo.
But all united with one Lord, Jesus Christ. So, if you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you trust that you are saved only because of His grace, not because of any act that you have done, then you are welcome to join us and thereby be assured. And thereby be assured that God hears, that God remembers, that God sees, and God knows. Let's pray together. Oh, Father God, how we thank you for the gift of the Lord Jesus. How we thank you for the grace that you give us in him. Oh, Father, we are so weak. We worry so easily. We are so quick to think, oh, I've prayed for a week or a month or a year or 10 years. And God hasn't answered, so therefore he doesn't care. But you tell us, you see, you hear, you remember, you know. So, Father, strengthen our hearts. Enable us to hold fast to your promises. Encourage us by your word and use this ordinance of the Lord's Supper to ground us that much more firmly in these truths so that we can join all of creation eagerly anticipating the return of our Lord Jesus and living every day in light of that return, in light of that promise. Do that, we pray. Glorify yourself among us. Grant us your grace through this ordinance that our Lord ordained. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.